Good morning.
Good morning.
Our scripture this morning is Jude, verses 17 through 25. But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. What a beautiful day, huh?
Yeah.
Man, I love that sunshine. If Jerry was wearing shorts, I'd say we could plant gardens. Don't plant your garden if Jerry's wearing pants. That's the rule that we got around here. Welcome to church, everybody. This is great. I love gathering up like this. Welcome again to our imperfect church family. And it's Sunday, and Sunday means, as I mentioned in Pine Grove this morning, this is a day we kind of get a respite from that chaos and the turmoil and all the problems of our everyday lives. And we don't escape the world. I know we don't get away, we don't turn it off totally, but it is kind of nice to be able to take this time out and to do nothing but just gather up as brothers and sisters and focus all of our praise and all of our love and give all that glory to God. And we take those problems and all that stuff that's on our hearts and we lay it at his feet. And he is such a good and a gracious God. He's the one who takes us by the hand and walks us through all of that. Amen? So he's the one we're holding our hand up today. We do it every day. Lord, grab on and walk us through. And it's great to be able to gather up as brothers and sisters and do that. And when we do, I think you find that the world that we step back into as we leave our church today, that world is a lot less meaningful when we come together and we see what really matters in this life. That's why I love Sundays here. We go to God every day of the week, but we get to do it here as brothers and sisters and get that mutual love and support. And that is a beautiful thing. Plus, if we didn't have Sundays, I'd be unemployed. So this is nice. I used to have a job at the calendar factory. Did I tell you that? I got fired. You take a couple days off, and they let you know. All right. The other one in Pine Grove was so bad, I had to float that one too. So, I was talking about interesting people. You're going to get it anyway. Interesting people. I ran into this guy at a restaurant the other day. He said he was a kamikaze pilot in World War II. Said his call sign was Chow Mein. And I kind of had to speak up and say, you know, forgive me, but aren't the kamikaze pilots the ones that crashed their planes and killed themselves into enemy targets? And he said, yeah, that's kamikazes, but my full call sign was chicken chow mein. So, someday we're going to outgrow that. Interesting people. Let's get started. Father, again, what a great opportunity to come and to dig into your word together. And Father, the keys of salvation are in between our covers. And so as we open up the covers of our Bibles today, I just pray, Lord, that you pour out your truth into us. Father, let us just gulp it in as if we are thirsting out in the desert. Lord, let us gulp in that water that saves. And Father, empower us then with your Holy Spirit for more than discernment, but for us to be doers of the word and not just hearers. Let us take that away from your message today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today is a day we're going to honor all the saints. As you see from some of the pictures up front, thank you everybody that brought in some of those pictures. We're celebrating the saints of Jesus Christ. And the saints, by the way, those are those brothers and sisters who have truly been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, truly regenerated Christians. They're the ones who are truly the adopted sons and daughters of our living God. Those are the saints. And so how about that? If you have given your life to Jesus Christ, you are a saint. It's come off a little funny to think about that, you being a saint. Don't fall into the colloquialisms of this world and what the world thinks are saints. You know, it's not like what grandma used to talk about, and the little girl that always had the nice behaviors and she was always well behaved. Like, oh, that girl, she's just a saint. Isn't she a sweetheart? I just love her. She's a saint. That ain't a saint. Everybody say that. That ain't a saint. Sorry, Ellen. School teachers are cringing a little bit. That ain't a saint, but you know, there's something else when we think about saints. We often think of the Catholic saints, and that saint is not the same either. To be a saint in the Catholic Church, if you're not familiar with this, you have to have been dead for 5 years. The Vatican has this group that's called the Congregation for the Causes of Saints, and they have to go back and examine your life and determine whether or not you lived this heroic life of virtue. And then after you've been dead, there has to be a miracle that has happened that can be attributed to you. And once that's verified, there has to be a second miracle that is attributed to you. And if all that comes together and you're in good with the Pope, well, then the Pope will sign off on everything and they canonize you and recognize you as a saint. So you become Saint Jerry, or you become Saint Stuart, or Saint Marvel. Again, sounds kind of funny when we say it that way, right? Once you've been canonized, by the way, I love this part. Once you've been canonized, you might be recognized as a patron saint of some patronage. And there's several thousand that are out there. There are the patron saint of bankers. There's a patron saint of arm pain. There's a patron saint of bakers, of broken bones, of cattle, of comedians. There's a patron saint of running sores. I'm not making that up. You want to be a Catholic saint, it's not easy, but I tell you, you can be the saint of whatever patronage you want. Be the patron saint of taco salads. Nona would be the patron saint of bingo. Ask Linda, she'd tell you I could be the patron saint of bad gas. Are we allowed to say that in church? Aren't you glad that that's not how it truly is with Jesus Christ? This whole idea of a Catholic saint, by the way, that saint is someone who is held or esteemed to be more holy than you are, or someone who is closer to God than you, or someone who specializes in certain kinds of ailments or conditions or circumstances. And so the idea is you pray to them. You pray to the dead person, and then they will pray, they will intercede with God on your behalf. But again, aren't you glad that's not the way it is with Jesus Christ? And this whole idea of sainthood, by the way, there is merit in it. There is truth in it. The saints are closer to God than others, non-believers. And the saints, they too intercede on behalf of others. They do pray to God directly. And the saints will go to God directly for all kinds of ailments and conditions and circumstances. But brothers and sisters, you don't have to be dead for 5 years. You don't have to have a bunch of miracles attributed to you. You don't have to go through all of these man-made requirements before you have this honor of being a saint in the eyes of Christ. You just have to have faith in him. You got to believe in him as your Lord and Savior. To be a saint, you just have to be saved. Paul talks about this. Paul, he writes several letters out to the churches that are spread out across Asia Minor. And these epistles later become the books of the Bible in the New Testament. A lot of our books in the New Testament are letters that Paul wrote to the churches that were out there. Listen to how he addresses the people in these churches. To all those in Rome, it's the book of Romans. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. To the church of God that is in Corinth, the book of Corinthians. To those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. To the saints in Ephesus, the book of Ephesians, and are faithful in Christ Jesus. To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, Philippians. To the saints and the faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, the book of Colossians. And folks, we may be sinners while we still are occupying these bodies that are prone to the world's temptations. We may still be sinners, but we are also saints in Jesus Christ. Just like our loved ones that are in these pictures, the ones that have belonged to Jesus Christ, just like the ones who are living today that have Christ in their heart. If you've got Christ in your heart, you are a saint. That's pretty cool. Turn to somebody, tell them, you are a saint. How'd that feel? You're a saint. Stan's going, nobody's ever called me a saint before. You are a saint. That's a lot of lead in, but what I really want to talk about today, but it's important. Because as we talk about the saints, and we read about the saints in Scripture, the ones that are being referenced here are believers. They are the ones who have gone before. They are the ones who are alive today who belong to Jesus Christ. It's important to understand that because the saints today, as they were back then, the saints today are living in the end times. And the end times, that's that time between Christ's ascension until that time he returns again as the conquering king. The saints are living in the end times. And it's during this time that the saints can expect some false doctrine and some false teaching and false prophets and twisted, polluted doctrine and faith that compromises with this fallen, sinful world. Apostasy, falling away, turning away, even persecution. Have you seen on the news what's happened in Nigeria? Thousands are being murdered because they're Christian. And our only hope now, our only hope is the saints of today, our hope of remaining saved, that is through the persevering work of the Holy Spirit. He is the one who is our deposit guaranteeing our salvation until we are glorified in body and spirit. Everybody got your Bibles opened up there? Grab that pew Bible if you didn't bring yours. Open up to Jude. Jude is that book of the Bible right before Revelation. Jude. The name was shortened by those who canonized the Bible. The real name of the apostle here was Judas. But as you can imagine, that name has some negative connotations. So Jude is his name. He was a half-brother of Jesus. He's a brother of James. And he writes this. There's a reason that he writes this. And you'll notice that there's no chapters in this. It's just 25 verses, 1 through 25. There's a reason that Jude writes this. And it goes back to some of the warnings from the apostles and from Christ himself. So as your backstory, this is what's kind of gone on here. Previously, Christ had warned about false teachers. In Matthew 7:15, he says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves." Christ warns about false teachers. Paul warns about false teachers. 1 Timothy 4, "But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons." Christ warned about it. Paul warned about it. Peter warns about false teachers and those who will persecute and those who will mock you for your faith. 2 Peter 3, "Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts." A lot of this should sound like today. And brothers and sisters, if you are saved, If you are saved, you may be this saint, but that also means that now you've got this target on your back, a target for evil. Satan's going to do whatever he can to distort that truth that you heard from the beginning. And he's going to do whatever he can to induce doubt and unbelief. He's going to do whatever he can to entice you to compromise, to get you to overlook sin, to try to get you to fall away into apostasy. Jesus Christ and the apostles, they warned against this. And it's no different from Jude. This is why Jude is writing this letter. Everybody got your Bibles opened up there? Give me a yeehaw if you're there. All right, we're going to go back to verse 1, actually. This is part of your backstory. We're going to read through this, and as we read about the times of Jude, see if this doesn't sound a lot like the times of today. Verse 1, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. There's a lot of doctrine right in that verse right there. Election, being saved, and then being persevered. Called, saved, kept for Jesus Christ. Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. And some of you might have a Bible that says it was once for all entrusted to God's saints. For certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality. And they deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord at one time delivered his people out of Egypt, but he later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority but abandoned their proper dwelling, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. In the very same way, on the strength of their dreams, these ungodly people pollute their own bodies, reject authority, and heap abuse on celestial beings. That means they make fun of God's heavenly host. They mock God. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn him. He didn't condemn Satan for slander, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Yet these people slander whatever they don't understand, and the very things they do understand by instinct, as irrational animals do, will destroy them. Woe to them. They have taken the way of Cain. Cain murdered his brother. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. Balaam was a prophet who prophesied only for money, for greed. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. Korah was the one who rebelled against God's chosen. These people are blemishes at your love feasts, communion, eating with you without the slightest qualm, shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind, autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead, dead in the flesh and the spirit. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame, wandering stars for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about them. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all of them of all the ungodly acts they have committed in their ungodliness and of all the defiant words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These people are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. Sound a lot like today? Should sound an awful lot like today. People who use grace, God's salvation, as a license for immorality. And you don't have to look very far to see not just people, but even churches that preach that. You know, Jesus loves you just as you are. You just go ahead and keep right on doing whatever feels good to you. Jesus loves you. Now, we are a church of tolerance and acceptance. You know, what kind of love is that? The kind of love that loves somebody right into the wrath of God. The times of Jude, they are a lot like the times that we are in today, these end times. Ungodly people who pollute their own bodies and reject God's authority. And the church and the pulpit are oftentimes used for making money. Just telling people whatever their itching ears want to hear. Ungodly acts, defiant words against God, grumblers, fault finders, people after their own evil desires. Man, that's a lot like today. And don't get me wrong here. I'm not trying to be negative Nancy, I promise. I'm not trying to be that judgmental preacher guy. Go home saying, oh, Doug's up there shaking his finger at everybody today. Shame on you, sinner. Stop. That ain't the point. That's not what I'm trying to do here today. The point here is that true Christians are under pressure from false religions, from false doctrines, and from perversions of God's truths. And such extreme pressure, because of this, there's not one of us who is capable of keeping our salvation. None of us could do that on our own. That doctrine that it sounds counter that we're talking about, not being able to lose your salvation. Well, that doctrine is valid, but it's only valid because we have this guarantee of the Holy Spirit. And without Him, all of us would be goners. Grab one of those white pew cards and stick it in your Bible real quick. Turn on back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians 1 verse 11. If you get to Philippians, you got too far. Back it up a little bit. Just give me an amen once you get there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians 1, 11. Amen? Are we there? We are able to preserve and persevere. We're able to persevere as saints. Our salvation is preserved by the Holy Spirit. And as we go through this, listen to how we get into this doctrine of election and how closely that is tied to this doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. Everybody there? Amen? Verse 11. In Him we were also chosen. Election. In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. That's salvation in a nutshell right there, folks. You were elected. You were chosen by God. He called you. You heard the gospel message. You responded in faith, the gospel of your salvation. And then you were marked and sealed, guaranteed your salvation by the Holy Spirit. That's how it all works. The promised Holy Spirit, verse 14, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, marked and preserved until you are glorified in body and spirit to the praise of His glory. Brothers and sisters, after we have responded to God's election and call, and we have given our hearts to Jesus Christ, after that, it's real easy for us to kind of fall into this mentality, having this mindset that everything is complete now. You know, I have checked that box. I'm done. I can go back to the way I was. I've confessed with my mouth. I've believed in my heart. I even got baptized in that cold water. Filled that square. We think that that's it. But here's the reality, though. Our redemption and our justification, once we're saved, that's just the starting line. They're not the finish line. And that only thing that keeps us saved until we are glorified in body and spirit, the only one who keeps us saved is that Holy Spirit. And he is the one who seals us. He's the one who guarantees our salvation. He's the one who is the deposit. He's the down payment from God, securing you as God's adopted sons and daughters. That's his work. And again, we can't do that on our own. We must have him. Christ is the one who saves us. The Holy Spirit is the one who preserves us while we wait to be reunited when the King returns and we're glorified in body and spirit. The Holy Spirit keeps us. And Christ promised this. He assured us of this. John 10:28, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. That's pretty cool. Saints, if you're truly regenerated in Christ, then you are truly secure in your sainthood. Satan knows that, though. And so what does he try to do? He tries to hinder your relationship with God. He tries to twist you into believing false and polluted doctrine. He tries to get you to compromise with the world by compromising on sin. That's our human nature. Try to minimize it. Yeah, I know I'm sinning, but I'm not as bad as that guy. It's just a little sin. You know, it's not like it's murder or rape or anything like that. That's kind of like saying, well, I can pick that up and play with it. It's just a little viper. It's just a little snake. I can play with that. Venom is venom. Amen? Yeah. Little sin is just as devastating as the big stuff. And so what do? Go back to your verses for today. Go back to Jude. Jude verse 17. Back to Jude. Just give me a yeehaw once you get there. We're good. If you're the type that doesn't mind putting notes in your Bible, grab a pencil here. And as like I said in Pine Grove, it's okay to mark this thing up. The paper is not sacred. The words are sacred. Don't be afraid to take some notes in there. Put enough notes in there you can't read through them. And then once you can't read through them, go get you another Bible. All right? Use that thing up. Everybody got a pencil? Okay, off in your margin there, next to verses 17 through 21. Maybe put a little bracket around that. Next to 17 through 21, write the word us. This is what we do for us. And then off next to verses 22 and 23, write others. This is what we do for others. And then the last two verses, verses 24, 25, off in the margin, write Christ, God. This is what we do for Christ. All right, now look at verse 17. What do we do? Us. But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. Circle that word, remember. That's what we do. Remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. That's happening. These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. That's your mark of knowing you're saved. If you've got the Holy Spirit, if you're producing fruit. There's a lot of people who talk Christian who definitely do not have the Spirit. Verse 20, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Lord, keep yourselves in God's love. Circle that word, keep. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Keep yourself, persevere while you wait for glorification. This little section here, it talks about what we do for us, those first ones. So what do? The words you circled, we remember and we keep. First and foremost, remember. Remember the warnings from Jesus Christ. Remember the warnings from the apostles. Be leery of those who twist the gospel. Be wary of those who might use Christian words and quote Christian verses, but they do so in order to alter the truth, to bend biblical truths, in order to justify their own human sinfulness. I love and accept you just the way you are. I can do all things through any verse taken out of context. Test the spirits to see if they align with biblical truths. This is what we do. Test the spirits to see if they align with the character, the holy and righteous character of God, to see if they align with the biblical truths of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as our sole means of salvation. Test the spirits. 1 John 4, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. Remember. Remember the warnings. And of course, in order to test those spirits, you need that firm grasp of His Word. You need to understand what He is telling you. You need to understand His words if you're going to test the spirits and the words of others to see if they're false. And how do you get to know that thing? Jude writes about it. He tells us, keep yourself in God's love. Learn more. This sounds an awful lot like from John 15 from the last couple of weeks, that we remain in God's love. We abide in God's love. And we do that by following His commands. And again, you're not going to know what those commands are unless you, look at verse 20 again, unless you build yourself up in the faith. This is why we offer Bible study about four times during the week. Go deeper than just 1 hour on Sundays. Build yourself up in the faith, and then you remain in communion with God. And you do that by praying in His Holy Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. That means you pray in accordance with His will, not yours. Too often we do the gimme prayers, right? God, I really need you to do this for me. God, you're my genie. Grant this wish. Instead of, God, in your spirit, reveal your will so that I may obey it. And His will is always better than ours. Remember and keep. That's what we do for us. For others, look at verse 22 now. Be merciful to those who doubt. Circle that merciful. Be merciful to the ones who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. Circle save. Save them. To others, show mercy mixed with fear. Circle mercy. Show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. There's your notes if you want to catch up. For us. This is what we do for others, these next few verses. In these next few verses, there's three different kinds of people that Jude is writing about here. The first ones are the ones who doubt. The doubters. These are the ones who are on the fence. These are the ones who maybe have been called by God. These are the ones who are interested. I'm kind of testing the waters, feeling out a church here and there. They're people who are on the fence, but for some reason they have not yet committed. They're still procrastinating. They're reluctant. They want more proof. To them, God is telling us, Jude is telling us, to be merciful to them. But practically what we are to do is to try to convince them. And we convince them by continuing to share our faith, by continuing to point out the devastating impact of sin. We do that by continuing to share the promise of God's mercy and His grace. This is what we do for those who doubt. That's one type of people. Now look at the second one here. These are the ones that have already fallen into deception. These are the ones who are doomed for the fire of hell. But Jude doesn't tell us to reject them. But rather, he's still encouraging us to do the same thing that we do with the doubters. We still share the gospel. We still point out God's truths. We still show them mercy and grace. Be that example of Jesus Christ, not the hypocrite. And with your example and your witness, what power of the Holy Spirit rolls in, maybe you can help save them from that eternal damnation. Save them from the fires of hell. That's the second group. And here's the third one. They're the ones that are swallowed up by sin. They're sold over to the point that even their clothes are toxic. But again, Jude is telling us to show that same mercy, but it's mercy that we mix with fear. There's a big word of caution there. Fear that we don't entertain, that we don't tolerate any kind of sinfulness, especially when we do it in the name of love. You know, I accept you just as you are. And this next thing I'm going to say here, folks, this is so important. If you take away anything today, take this away. We absolutely love that person. Absolutely. That person is a child of God just like you. And he or she was made in the image of God, just like you. And he or she was born condemned to hell, just like you. And so we are to hate that sin, just like we hate our own sin. We're hypocrites if we judge. We hate that sin, just as we hate our own, but we love that person with that same sacrificial and selfless kind of love that Jesus Christ demonstrated for you when you were still lost in sin, like he did for me. So for us, remember and keep in God's love. For others, convince the doubters, save the lost, show mercy to all sinners. And what do we do for Jesus Christ? For our God, look at verse 24 here. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, that's your perseverance of the saints. That's the Holy Spirit protecting you right there. He keeps you from stumbling. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. All praise goes to him. And all the people said, amen. What do we do? What is our only response that we can do for our God, for our Lord and our Savior? This one's pretty straightforward. To God through Jesus Christ is all the power, is all the majesty, is all the authority, is all the praise, is all the honor, is all the reverence, all the recognition, all that love goes to him. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to him be the glory for all ages, now and forevermore. Let's practice. Everybody say, praise God. Brothers and sisters, Christ is the one who makes you a saint. And that Holy Spirit is the one that preserves you and protects you. And the day is coming when all of the saints are going to be gathered together and we will be singing and praising our Lord. We'll be doing that for all eternity. And I'll tell you, I can't wait for that day. But until then, let's remember the warnings. And let's remain in God's love. Let's witness to the lost and to the sinners and the doubters. And let's keep practicing for eternity by praising God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's do that while we persevere waiting for our King. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you so much for these words today. We thank you for the protection and the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you first of all made that sacrifice to save us, and Lord, you love us enough to keep us until we are glorified body and spirit. And so we pray for that indwelling Holy Spirit to lead us into further knowledge of you. to protect us and to sanctify us as we wait for your return. And it's during this time, Lord, above all things, we give you praise and honor and glory. We thank you for being the loving God that you are. In Jesus' name.
I pray today that the message spoke to you and that God filled your heart with love. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, would you do it now? Just pray this prayer with me. Pray it out loud. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins, and God raised you from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and to come into my life. I want to trust you and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray, amen. Can I pray for you now? Father, for those that have spoken this prayer, have reached out sincerely from their hearts saying this for the first time, Father, would you watch over them? Would you fill them with your Holy Spirit? Would you protect them? Would you break those chains of sin that have held them down for their whole lives? And God, I lift them up to you, and I ask that you bless them. I ask that you work in their lives. I ask, Father, that you use them for your will, as your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, folks, if you've prayed that prayer for the first time today, would you share that with us? Reach out to us at yeastcommunitychurch@gmail.com, or there's a link where you can send us a message at yeastcc.org. And I pray that you continue to grow in the faith. I pray that you continue to seek out the Lord and His guidance. And if you're local, we would love to have you come be part of our church family. And if you're watching this from another location, please seek out a church family that preaches from the Bible, and that has the fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ. This is the best way to help sustain you in your faith. Thank you for watching, and we hope to see you next week.